Sharks fans. Sharks lost to the Vegas Golden Knights 5-3. We're going to quickly take it to Puck Guy and AJ because they're live at the Shark Tank for a little post game. And then Ian and I will take it from there. Puck Guy.
All right, Al. Thanks very much. Good evening, everyone. Alongside AJ Strong, I am Eric Kura here at the Tank. Not as pleasant as Wednesday night. Got a little bit of controversy in this one as well. But this series is even. We didn't expect the Sharks to sweep this one tonight or the series. What do you take from tonight in this atmosphere?
I'm thinking that I'm going to take some of these teal M&Ms over here. It was fun atmosphere, but how atmospheric can you be when you give up three goals in the first 7 minutes? It's the first 15 minutes of this were difficult to watch, to be quite honest. I'm sitting there and I'm wondering why guys are getting caught puck watching. I'm wondering why Martin Jones is giving up a full blown breakaway on a shorty that, let's be honest, he should have had. That's as much grief as Martin Jones has caught this regular season. That goal right there, that third goal tonight, that's a primary reason for why he has caught that much grief over his play this season. Those are the goals you can't let in. And Martin Jones let that in. And what happened? He got yanked after letting that one in. And then the Sharks kind of woke up a little bit. And the final 5 minutes of the first, we saw some Sharks hockey. Things were looking good. So the first period, you get out of it. You're tied at three after sleepwalking through 15 minutes. You tie it up. And, hey, on to the final 40 minutes. And we've already kind of stunned the Golden Knights with that comeback because those were three quick goals. So to see that happen was fantastic. Then what happens? Start the second. You think you've got a goal. All of a sudden, it's not a goal. And this is – we're talking about where Couture got called for goalie interference, correct? Okay. 51 seconds into the second. I talked to Curtis Brown during the third period specifically about that goal. And Curtis said, no, that's what it is. It's interference. Fleury was not all the way out of his paint. Now – I disagree a little bit, but it's if you want to get straight down, you know, brass tacks kind of thing, if you look at it from an overhead view, unfortunately, Fleury's butt is hanging over the paint. Now, for me, I look at it, it's like, is any part of him in there? Is he sitting in the paint? No. Are his skates in the paint? No. But Fleury said, Curtis said, you draw a line straight down, he's still covering some paint. And if, you know, would you want that called if it was the other way? I don't know that I would, to be honest with you, but Curtis has played the game and I haven't. So I'll defer to Curtis. But then not long after that call, we see the Sharks give up the goal. Now it's 4-3. And now you're kind of going, okay, you're speculative. And then what happens? Something happens with Vlasic. After the first 2 minutes of the second, he's gone. And we've heard nothing. The other thing that was really speculative to me is the fact that Timo Meier had way too little ice time in this game, Eric.
It was one of those things where it's just everything that could go wrong for the Sharks went wrong. I mean, first minute.
With the exception of the 5 minutes in the first period.
Well, yeah, I mean, but it was a tough part to see, and it really deflated this crowd really quick. Sharks couldn't take advantage of the 5-on-3. That kind of set things down. But yeah, I mean, the three quick goals really changed the atmosphere of this place, and everything seemed to be going well. And then that change in the call, Ian, I know, is going to talk about why that can't be reviewed in that sense. But at the same time, you got to persevere, just like you persevered from 3-0 down. I mean, kudos to the Sharks on giving that, but you gotta persevere and not get cutesy thing. You know, for this, it's not gonna work, and that's the tough part going in. And then, that's why I don't get that. And that was classic Vegas. I know that's a 2-year franchise, but classic Vegas hockey right there that they played tonight.
the Sharks, they weren't able to adjust what Vegas adjusted from game one. The Sharks were not able to adjust for that, at least for me. But I go back to what you were saying about game one and game two. We've seen two games. Right now, if you just add everything up, it's 8-7 in favor of the Sharks. Sharks have scored 8 goals over 2. Vegas has scored 7 goals over 2. Now, what was the key difference tonight? Sharks lost by 2 goals. Oh, what else happened tonight that had to do with 2 goals? 2 shorties. There was a lot of cutesy passing tonight, especially early, especially to me. I look at a couple of key factors in this. Jones giving up that third goal. Of course, the 2 shorties, but I throw those 2 shorties, just special teams overall. The Sharks did not look sharp, whether they were on the kill or on the power play. I don't know. Eric and I were watching during the third period together, and I'm sitting there looking at the power play, and I'm going, it's going to go there. It's so predictable. It's like the Sharks find one thing that works, and they go, yeah, keep doing that, despite the fact that other teams are going to figure that out. So, yeah, tonight I put on special teams. Jones has to have that third goal. First and second one, you can debate me on. That third one, that's something that Jones needs to have. So with that, you know, you kind of might have my my 2 cents for it. And because he clearly wants to take over the show, I hand it over to Puck Guy. Bye.
But well, apparently I didn't want to say anything, but okay. But Christian, thank you. But
they make teal M&Ms, people.
He's just figuring this out. I don't know. But yeah, it's an even series. Going back, game 5 back here next Thursday. I mean, we kind of expected that. So, you know, but we got plenty of hockey ahead of us, and you know, Vegas got the split that they want. Sharks got one at home. Now they got to steal one in Southern Nevada.
And we may just have to come live from the tank on Sunday night from the watch party here on Autumn Street. Might have to happen, because that's the kind of podcast we roll, people.
We do this after every game. If you haven't already, hit that subscribe button down below. Also hit that bell notification. That'll notify you when we go back on every time we have something going on, along with following us on the Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud, and our YouTube channel. So with that, and Spotify. So with that, Al and Ian, back at the Network Central.
Network Central, and here's Ian to tell everybody why the whole goal with Couture didn't count.
All right.
Please, because I'm not confirming on that. But with that, you guys have a great one, and we'll see you on Sunday after game 3.
All right. To you guys. Thanks, guys. Ian
already covered it, so I think we just go home now, right?
We can probably just wrap it up, but yeah,
they covered it.
Start this over at the first period, but just before we continue onwards, let me just get out the graphic for what they just said. Quickly. Catch us anywhere for Spotify, our podcasts are there now, and Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, you can find them there. But let's just jump into it right now. All right, so the game didn't start off great at all. The Sharks let in another goal in the first 5 minutes. To no surprise at this moment. You know, Ian, it looked like the Sharks just didn't really get off the right foot. Just kind of like the turnovers in the neutral zone or even their own zone really did cost that first goal.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I personally, I know AJ said like one for sure. I think you could argue for, I think you'd make a really good argument for 2 of them. And then you might have a tougher argument on the third one. But I think there's an argument to be made for all 3 goals on Jones. But that's not the whole story here, because I mean, the play in front of him was just as atrocious. Unfortunately, Jones just, you know, he's the last line of defense and he was not very good. But to completely just pin that entirely on Jones isn't fair either, because the entire team looked like trash in front of him for that first span.
Yeah, both goals, Sharks turn over the puck in the neutral zone and their own zone. But Erik Karlsson had a minus two out of those first three goals. Really bad first half of the period.
Yeah.
But the first goal, Cody Eakin, wide open in front of the net where Erik Karlsson was supposed to slide over and he just didn't really skate.
Yeah, and that's definitely, Erik Karlsson's definitely a topic for later.
And then the second goal, which I thought was, it could have been the backbreaker, but the Sharks came back. But second goal, when the Sharks were on a 5-3, and the 5-3 ends, leading to a 5-4, and there's no communication from the bench. Erik Karlsson doesn't know what's going on. He passes it, leading to another goal, a shorthanded goal for Colin Miller, who I think Jones probably could have had that one. But I thought really bad communication from the bench, not telling them, hey, there's a guy coming off the bench, maybe put a shot towards the net.
Right. Like that's the problem, right? I mean, if you look at that power play, I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of shots getting on goal. There was a lot of just silly passing and just predictable and standing around. There was so little movement on the power play. And, you know, I don't know if that's partially because I don't think Erik Karlsson was skating well, really this entire game. So I don't know if that kind of was indicative of why the power play was so stationary, but when I saw Miller coming out of the bench, I mean, we all knew it was going to happen. Like I didn't need a crystal ball to know what was going to happen on that play. The second I saw him beelining into the play, like you didn't need a crystal ball to see what was going to happen there. I mean, what should it have been, a goal? Probably not. But I mean, it was so obvious that he was going to come in and scoop the puck up and go the other way. Like, I don't know. Anyone who didn't see that coming out.
No, you're absolutely right. They have worse
vision than I do.
For the most part, this is Erik Karlsson's third game back. So he's still kind of finding his legs, but he did kind of take a nasty hit in the first period of last game. And so maybe he's dealing with some fatigue. And we'll get into the injuries in the second period, but he's not 100% healthy. Clearly, he's probably 80% at most.
Right.
And that, he was a big factor in the first game, but I don't know if he's going to be much of a factor going forward if he doesn't have the speed.
I really want to touch on Erik Karlsson after we kind of get through the recap, because I think there's a lot to decompress there.
All right, so the third goal, Max Pacioretty, one of the worst efforts I think I've seen from Jones on that save, or on that lack of save, not sliding over, kind of giving the right hand of the net to Vegas. And at that point, you kind of had to pull Jones.
Oh, yeah.
Just for not him, but to get the other four lines back in the game.
I think even for him, too. I mean, leaving him in at that point, I mean, I hate when everyone's like, oh, the momentum. But in this case, I just think like he obviously didn't have it. Like he just didn't have it. I mean, how many saves did he make? 4 or 7?
I can do the quick math, but people are in chat. Thank you for mentioning Nemo. I appreciate that. but I will, in defense of Martin Jones, even if Nemo was on the net, the defense was subpar, it was awful today on all counts.
Right. So I apologize. Yeah, he made 4 saves on 7 shots. Like that's just bad.
85%, right? Just season average. All right. So then Sharks kind of get back into it right away when Logan Cher makes like a nice shot off of a great feed from Karlsson to Pavelski to Couture. Really sick play, but I know we're kind of looking at it what happened nowwards, but really great highlight between them with that speed on the ice. And Couture hasn't really done much this series so far, even though it's 2 games in. He kind of wasn't a factor in game one. And then the second goal, they kind of already touched on that, but Hurdle from a great shot from Erik Karlsson. You know, just get bodies in front of Fleury and see what happens. But, you know, I'm surprised Hurdle is the person you put in front of the net, not someone like Haley or maybe even, not Haley, but maybe Kane. But
Yeah. I don't know. I thought like those goals, like they were pretty goals. Like all three of the Sharks goals are really pretty on top of, you know, just being the excitement of getting back in the game. Cause I was like, oh man, this is the game I get to watch. This is not fair.
Yeah. And then finally to close up the period with only 50 seconds left, Jumbo has a tip pass from, I believe, Dylan. Yeah, to make it tied all three at the end of the first period. You're thinking everything's gonna be going great. A lot of momentum heading to the second period. But of course, kind of the moment that we've been kind of leading to,
mm-hmm.
The no call on Brent Burns' goal. And Ian, I'll let you have the floor.
Yeah, I mean, the issue here is like, you know, it's kind of the letter of the law instead of the spirit of the law. And in this place, it's just basically the ref said, like, I was calling an interference penalty. I look at the play itself and I don't like the play. I feel like the contact of anything was incidental, which you're allowed incidental contact with the goaltender outside of the blue paint. You know, but again, with what Curtis said about him having his butt still in the blue, technically, I mean, that, again, you know, Curtis Brown played the game. I just sit here and look pretty and not look at my camera when I'm talking on YouTube. I guess I could see that, but to me, the contact was incidental. If anything, I think, you know, Fleury kind of went into Couture,
yes,
who has the right to that ice. But you know, brutal as the call may be, they still made a call, and because it was a penalty call, you call a penalty. Obviously, Vegas never, the Sharks had control of the puck, which makes the play dead. They can't score a goal at that point. You can't review it because you can't review a penalty call. It's just like, and this is a good thing, people, like, if you take the emotion out of it, do you really want them to pull up their Nintendo DS every time the puck goes over the glass? Do you want them to take out their Nintendo DS every time there's a cross check? Or like, I understand that the anger about it, but the last thing this game needs is more video review. And I understand people are angry because it's a scoring play, but technically it's not a goal because the play would have been, you know, the play is dead as soon as the ref throws his arm up. Now, some people are obviously going to argue that they did that to cover their own butts. Look, I'm not going to play, you know, take down every tinfoil hat conspiracy theory tonight, because we could be here all night just debating, you know, different options of, oh, well, they did it to cover their butts. At the end of the day, you can't video review a penalty, and that's what that play was. I know the puck went across the line, but it's a penalty. You can't review it. There's no review option. You know, and it's something I don't see getting changed, because in that situation, you know, again, I think the last thing everyone wants in this game right now is more video review, considering how long the video reviews already take for the ones we do have.
See, my issue with how Fleury played that is I feel like he knows the book and he's using it during playoff time, and he's pretty smart. He's pretty crafty. He's an NHL veteran who pretty much, this is how he's been playing the game the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
So this isn't really much of a surprise, but Fleury has been known to be kind of one of the dirty goalies since he's been coming into the league. And yeah, you're supposed to be aggressive. You're supposed to attack the shooter, but there wasn't really nothing there. Like he was really just stopping a shot by the book, not by his own skill.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're going to play that, you would hope it would be consistent across the board.
And sure.
And a lot of the times it doesn't really feel that way.
Look, I'm not going to argue. Like the call, the goaltender interference call was absolutely brutal, but not reviewing it's unfortunately the right call by the book.
By the book, yeah.
By the, like, that's the NHL rule book. It's not something that they can't just change it on the fly and be like, oh, well, I guess we can go to video review. Like they called a penalty. Once they call a penalty, that's not a reviewable play anymore. And you know, unfortunately, it worked against the Sharks tonight, but I think as we go on, I mean, you can look at that and definitely look at, I'm not going to say that didn't affect the Sharks. Like obviously the game did turn from there, but at the same time, like, you know, there's a lot of other things the Sharks could have done. Like, at some point, you do have to take control of your own destiny. And I understand Sharks fans being upset about that play. Look, I don't like the call either. You know, I don't like the interference call. The review part, whatever, because that's what it is. But, the fact that that was called goaltender interference is, to me, is a joke.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think, but at the same time, it probably would have worked. It would have been a big factor for the Sharks, considering that Couture and Vlasic both went out around the minute and 30 mark in the first opening minutes of the second period. So you don't have your best or one of your best defensemen and your second line center. Because of that, Pavelski double shift a lot in the second period, and he looked worn out in the third period.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, the injuries definitely, you know, look, there's a lot of factors. Injuries were a huge factor in this game. I think that has more to do with things than, oh, well, you know, the refs jobbed us and that's why we lost. No, I mean, look, you had, I think Erik Karlsson logged the most minutes on the team at almost 30 minutes, and he looked like he was skating sluggish from the get-go. Add 30 minutes onto that? Like, that's bad. That's just bad.
Yeah, even with Couture missing the second period, you still had 19 minutes. But as a result of Vlasic missing the second and almost the entire third period, I don't think he came back for the third period. But as a result, Ryan got a lot more playing time. He played about 8 or 9 minutes tonight.
He played like 6 minutes. That would have looked.
Ryan, 7 minutes.
Seven minutes.
But before that injury, he didn't have, he only had 1 minute of time on ice. Mm-hmm. So it really did play a factor, shifting the defensive core. And of course, that's what brought Burns and Karlsson together. And that pairing has never worked in the regular season. Not once. It's been a train wreck. Even though it probably should work, be the best D pair stats alone, that chemistry has never worked right.
It's bad. But so, I think that's the thing. I mean, you got to look at it. Like, Burns logged 28 minutes. Erik Karlsson, and this is the problem, right? Like, when you dress a guy like Joakim Bryan, who you're not going to play, and then you lose a guy like Vlasic, who usually logs a ton of minutes, this is what happens, though. You know, you have to overlog these players. And it's you know, when people are talking about, oh, well, you know, oh, everyone's getting on Peter DeBoer because they don't like the decisions he's making. Well, this is what happens. You get a guy get injured. Like, we lost, you know, like you said, Couture went down for a bit. Guess who's going to pick up that extra ice time? Everyone else, and then maybe they'll throw some scraps to Haley. Like, this is why you want more productive people in the lineup. Joakim Bryan hasn't been great. And the problem now is that if Mark Edward Vlasic can't go next game, although I'm sure he's fine, he's just day-to-day. If Mark Edward Vlasic can't go to next game, now you have to bring in Tim Heat, and you still have to keep Joakim Bryan in there.
And to bring up AJ's point, Timo only played 13 minutes tonight, or 12 minutes tonight, which is a pretty low number considering the playoffs. And I think that's his season low regarding everything. Haley had 6 minutes, but Timo is probably not healthy at this point at the time, which is not a good sign. I think he had an injury, or he had a bad hit at the game one, I believe that was. But for the most part, I don't think there's been any diagnosis on Timo, which is kind of surprising.
Yeah, I know his wrist was hurting him at the end of the year. Right in that last game, I think his wrist was hurting him, and then they said he's fine. I don't, when it comes to injuries, I've been pretty honest about this. I don't trust a damn thing that comes out of the Shark's mouth when it comes to injuries. I just don't. Like, I just assume the worst and hope for the best, because you're never going to get a straight answer. But, like, not... out of any team really at this time of year, but I just find the Sharks are especially horrendous.
Yeah, I mean, like, this time of the year, I think the best way to look at injuries is just seeing how much time they're on the ice. And I mean, Sorensen played 12 minutes, but you would have thought he would have been playing a little bit more time with Jumbo Joe, but he's still kind of not getting a lot of time. What was Joe Thornton's time? Just give me a quick second. Joe Thornton, he played 18 minutes and he looked pretty good, but there was times in the third period where he was definitely getting fatigued a little bit. But let's jump into the final goal of the night, which is William Karlsson shorthand goal, the second of the game for Vegas. You know, this is probably, I can't really blame Dell on this one, but what I can blame the Sharks over, you know, collectively is letting in two shorthand goals in the playoffs. And you had a one, you went 1-for-8 on the power play.
Right.
So there's going to be a lot of finger pointing, but this team didn't come to play in the first period. They got lucky that they got really good in the last five or the last 10 minutes of the first period, where they got those three goals in 3 minutes. Really exciting stuff, but really disappointing effort all the way around.
Yeah, like, you know, again, I go back to, like, you can whine about the goal all you want that got over, like, you know, the penalty, whatever you want to call it. But at the end of the day, Sharks went, what, 1-for-8 on the power play? One for eight, 1-for-9 on the power play? Like, and that goal happened. I mean, there was still, I know, and again, yes, injuries and other factors, but there was still, like, 38 minutes, 37 minutes left to play after that goal happened. Maybe more.
Which goal was it? The second period?
The second period when the Burns thing got overturned and they came back and scored. Like, there was a lot of hockey left in that game. So, I mean, yeah, you can call it a turning point, but at the same time, like, it's the playoffs. You lose four games and you go home. So you have to control your destiny better than that. Now, on the plus side, the Sharks still have home ice advantage because they, you know, they can come back and play. They can win four more games at the tank and everything's, or three more games, sorry, at the tank and everything's good. But obviously, you know, coming out of Vegas with even a split, it's going to be, you know, that's going to be scary.
And Vegas plays a lot different at home. They're a lot more physical. They feed off their home ice, which is, it's one of the best home arenas I think I've seen, I've been in. They play differently, and the Sharks have, yeah, they've won their last year, but with a lot of interest with the Sharks, with Carlson, Timo, you name it, this is not a good sign all the way around. The Sharks did finish with 37 shots on goal compared to Vegas's 23. But a lot of that is misleading, though, because the Sharks were obviously on the power play eight times. So yeah. I do look into that stat, kind of neglecting it. But I think physically, when you look at Vegas's team, I like what they did. And their whole defensive style, guarding the neutral zone, and having them gain the first goal of the game really did set things up perfectly for Vegas.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I've been kind of watching Twitter. I have not seen any updates on Mark Edward Vlasic. I'm assuming we're not going to get squat, but
no,
you know,
it's going to be a maintenance time next tomorrow for a practice.
Yeah.
Chats, give me your questions and we'll talk about it. But I think the question everyone keeps on talking about is, do you see Dell starting game three?
No, Jones is going to start game three. Like, I'm not saying who should start game three. I just think that you go back, like, Peter DeBoer is going to go back to Jones. I can't see them going with Dell because look at Dell hasn't been like, I'm not saying Dell had a bad game tonight. I thought he played pretty steady in relief of Martin Jones, who left him in a giant hole to start. I don't think Dell's done anything that's like this season or even in this game that says, oh yeah, you know, Dell should be the surefire starter at this point. Like, Dell's had just as many struggles this year as Jones. So I think when you're in that crappy of a situation, you probably, whether you like it or not, you're probably going to see Jones in net game three.
I agree with you to a point, but last year, I believe the Capitals did start their backup, and then Holpe came in and then carried them all the way through. So I'm not saying you follow that template, but maybe you just say, hey, Dell looked a lot better or looked a lot more comfortable in front of the net, or the defense looked a lot more comfortable with him in net. And you just say, let's try that, because I'm all for that, because Dell, I think, has been more consistent, and he's had more plays that I think have stood out this season compared to Jones.
Yeah, but even still, like, I mean, he hasn't been, I don't think he's been that much, like, he hasn't been that much better. Like, when the season, the year where we started, I want to say what it was, we started Staylock against the Kings. Hindsight, dumb move, because it didn't work. But at least you could make an argument for it, because there was a stretch there where Staylock was just lights out for, you know, he had that little run where he was just lights out. So they threw him into a game. Like, I don't think the coaching staff trusts Dell enough to start that game. Because if you start Dell and then you lose, you know, because if you sit Jones and then you start Dell and then Dell gets shelled the next game, and then what? Then both your Coley's confidences are just dead and you're down 2-1 in the series.
Yeah, I completely agree with you on that. You know, it's going to be interesting to see what they do with Ryan, because if Vlasic is, you know, has some type of injury, which we kind of believe he does, he's going to get more playing time, which means potentially you slide Vlasic down to the third pairing just to maybe hide him.
Yeah. Oh, man, I don't know what you do. Like, if he can't go, I mean, if he can't go, he shouldn't go. Like, I understand, like, they're hockey players and they want to, but there's got to be a point where, you know, you have to draw the line. Like Erik Karlsson, man. I mean, yeah, he was a part of that, one of those nice goals, but by the end of the game, like, he just looked dead. Right? I mean, at some point, like, this Vegas team just comes in waves. I would much rather a healthy Tim Heaton over a 35% Mark Edward Vlasic.
I completely agree with you. I think he's earned that spot too. He's at least earned that chance. I thought he played pretty decent with the 10 or 15 games he got because of Erik Karlsson's injury. Frankly, I'm surprised he's not taking Ryan's spot, considering how things are shaping up. But maybe that's just a preference between a left shot and a right shot, and you're just kind of hoping at that point.
Yeah, like, it's hard. I mean, look, at injuries are a part of the game, especially the playoffs. Everyone's playing hurt. I'm sure there's guys on Vegas side that are nursing things too. We just don't care about them because they're on the other team.
All right, so for the rest of the stats, the faceoffs were pretty even. Vegas with 48 and the Sharks with 52. I will say, though, in the third period, Vegas won 7 out of the 3 faceoffs, so they were kind of controlling the pace. 22 penalty minutes for Vegas, 31 hits for Vegas, but 26 blocks. And that's collectively, they were more tuned into their, you know,
game. Yeah, when it looked like Fleury was going to have another shaky night, they made the, you know, Baker brought it up on the telecast. They were, you know, when the Sharks were entering the zone, they were collapsing around the goal. They weren't giving the Sharks much to work with. And, you know, and the problem is, unfortunately, when you collapse in front of the net like that, then the Sharks get too fancy with their passing instead of just trying to find quick lanes, which I think would have been the better play. But, hey, they're the NHLers. I'm not.
So it's believed that Vlasic's last plays was when he blocked a Shea Theodore shot. And we don't know if I have been trying to look for any footage from that, but it doesn't look, you know, if it might have been the same injury that he had a while ago, but it is a block shot. I won't talk about Logan Couture's blocked shot because I think that's too much. That's
enough said.
It's a lower the belt. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, that was ouch.
But that kind of just does it. William Karlsson makes it 5-3.
And yeah.
Frankly, I never really felt the Sharks were much of a threat in the third period.
No.
They had shot chances, but I just didn't think they were any good.
Right. And I think this is where, you know, again, I think you had to shorten the bench. Fatigue's definitely a factor at this point. And they got frustrated. I think they got really frustrated. Like, there was a part where, you know, I thought like Evander Kane was going to kill the ref, and I'm like, oh crap, we just lost Evander Kane, 'cause he's going to get suspended. Like, they got under the Sharks' skin pretty good. On top of that, Sharks were frustrated. Sharks were tired. It's bad.
So yeah, Pavelski finishes off with 25 minutes on the ice. Easily the leading the team or actually leading the game. Same goes with Kachur, 20 minutes. Hurdle with 23 minutes. So I don't think he's nursing any wrist injury. He might have thought occurred something before game one. But if you look at Vegas's lineup, there's no starter, no player over 20 minutes. They're all 18, 17 minutes. That includes with the exclusion of their defensive core, which is understandable, but their four depth, all four lines ready to go compared to the Sharks, who are sometimes double shifting.
Well, because that's what happens when you dress Michael Haley. You double shift other players and they have to suffer for it. Like, I feel like a broken record when it comes to this stuff, right? Like, I feel like it's probably a little unfair how badly we beat Haley over the mallet, or at least how badly I do at times. But at the same time, like, this is what happens when you dress a player that you can't trust to play more than whatever. And Kaylee was invisible tonight because the Golden Knights didn't let him do anything. Ryan Reeves did a much better job of getting under the Sharks' skin than Haley doing anything. And if Haley can't get under their skin, then he's completely a wasted lineup spot because he's not going to score goals.
I mean, I thought Haley played decent. Not like game one where I thought he was actually contributing shots instead of hits and was not being bad IQ, but he played 7 minutes compared to Reeves, who had only 5 minutes.
I noticed when Reeves was on the ice, I did not notice Haley at all tonight.
Surely noticed him, but he didn't make any notable plays on the ice, to put it that way.
I don't understand it. You have guys that can do better things, right? Like, and I'm not mad at Michael Haley. Like Dave's saying in the chat, like, I'm not mad at Michael Haley. Michael Haley's out there to earn a living. Great. You know, kudos to him. The Sharks have better options. And the fact that they're not using them frustrates me, win or lose.
It wouldn't surprise me though, for game three, you see Donskoy back in the lineup and you maybe take out Haley give in to letting Vegas have the size, but as long as you have the speed, to get through the neutral zone,
right?
I'm pretty much betting that you see Donskoy back in. Question is, what do you do with Haley? Because you
scratch him.
Because do you put Radil back in, or do you put, I don't know, like, you're already placing Gaudreau? Do you place that's the question. I think you might as well just play him and see what happens. But it sounds like the Sharks again are once again going to dress seven defensemen because of Vlasic.
Which, yeah, whatever. I don't know, man. I just don't trust some of these combinations. Like, I don't know. I don't get it. Part of me just doesn't want to get it. And I don't want to beat the same horse over and over and over again, because that's just bad.
All right. I don't have the graphics or the wraparounds or any of that stuff. Someone wants to put it in the chat.
I can give you some reach around information.
Let's do it.
All right. So Columbus currently leads the Tampa Bay Lightning 2-0 in their series. They win 5-1 tonight over the Tampa Bay Lightning. Nikita Kucherov made a ridiculously nasty play, I can't remember who it was, into the boards. For now, Kucherov, I don't believe Kucherov is a repeat offender in this thing, but a similar hit last year, now again, remember, repeat offender, got Nazem Kadri 3 games. So that'll be something interesting to watch going forward, as Tampa's on the ropes against the Columbus Blue Jackets. And I honestly, my bracket is going to just die in the first round. It's going to be very bad if things continue on the trend they are. I should have made the bracket that I of what I wanted instead of what I think. I'd look a lot smarter right now, because I made the bracket that I thought made me look smart, and I don't look smart at all.
You know, Lightning's Achilles heel was always their goaltending, and I'm blanking on the goaltender's name, but
you are thinking of Vasilevsky.
Yeah. He's up for Vezina. I'm sure he's going to get there just because of the amount of wins he's had this season. That's thanks in large part because of how good Tampa's been all year. But the problem has always been goaltending. And give the Blue Jackets a lot of credit. Last day of the season, they got in. Maybe that's kind of how the story is for the Blue Jackets. And they do have a lot of talent. Can it come together? That's kind of like the main question.
Well, and that's the thing, right? Because if you look at the Lightning, I think the one thing that's always scary, especially when, like, I mean, they won the President's Trophy by a country mile. Like, they ran out of things to play for and probably,
I would say, in
early March,
yeah.
If, like, February they ran out of things to play for. And I think that, you know, and then, you know, you have a team like, so they've been kind of coasting, and then you have a team like Columbus who had to fight their way in. I mean, they're just coming out of the fight where, you know, I think it's sometimes this is what happens with President's Trophy teams. They come in and they just, you know, they don't have it the same intensity that they would like to have because they've been coasting for so long. But I also, you know, at the same time, we thought that Columbus was going to, you know, run all over the Washington Capitals last year after two games too, and that didn't happen. So I guess, you know, Columbus probably has that in the back of their heads too.
Yeah. You know, same point I was going to make, but I don't think the series is over at all, but I do think it's probably going to go seven. And depending on how long that goes on for, will that play effect in the second and third rounds or potentially the Stanley Cup final round if Tampa ever gets to that point. But I think Tampa is only going to take one game at a time.
Yeah.
So next game is the Penguins and the Islanders, and Islanders won 3-1. Frankly, I didn't really watch most of this game, but Murray is not looking like the same playoff goaltender as he did in 2016. And the Islanders have always been a speedy team in the Metropolitan Division. That seems to be causing a lot of problems for Penguins right now.
Oh, and I mean, Robin Leonard's just had such a great year too. Like, for a guy who was basically just pulled off the scrap heap, I mean, he's been just a revelation for them and, you know, continued to be so tonight, you know, 32 saves on 33 shots.
After tonight, there's 11% chance the Leafs and the Islanders can meet in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Well, there you have it. I, you know, this is a team where I pick Pittsburgh because it's hard to, like, you look at this Penguins team, and I mean, they're not as great as they used to be, but I still think, like, with some of the players they have, like, you just, they're one of those teams where I'm like, I just can't count this team out until they're gone. And you know what? I will not be sad to see the Islanders move on to the next round.
I mean, Malkin, Crosby, but that's still a solid core, and I agreement on you on that.
Rob asked, if the Lightning are bounced in the first round, does the Eckvall and John Cooper? Probably not. I don't think, like, if you look at the Lightning, I mean, this is a team that's been, what, two conference finals, a Stanley Cup final? Like,
Stanley Cup final in 2014, but that was, I would say you almost look past that at this point.
Yeah. And it's like, but they've had playoff success, so I don't know.
So the other game of the night was Blues and Jets. Blues beat the Jets 4-3. Blues having a late period goal by O'Reilly. Yeah, I mean, I think we kind of expected this to happen. The Jets kind of not been the same team. I don't know what to think about the Jets when you got the Blues who've won 8 of their last 10 heading into the regular season or heading into the playoffs.
I think that the problem, like, I like the Jets. I look at this team and I say, like, this team's built for the playoffs. And but at the same time, I think that their defenses come up short. Like, their forward, like, you look at this forward group and it's great, but, you know, the defense, I don't know if, I think Byfuglien might be playing through something, which probably doesn't help anything, but that's a big, you know, that's a big chunk on their blue line. And yeah, you know, their blue line depth isn't fantastic. And Connor Hellebuck just has to be better, period.
And then sadly, Vegas 5, Sharks 3. Game 3 is on Sunday, of course. it's going to be interesting to see what happens tomorrow. We're kind of looking on Twitter just to see if there's any news on Vlasic.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything.
And I don't think you're going to hear much right now, at least. But they just gave Comstrom the extension. Rob Iman asked, does Winnipeg retool this offseason?
I think that if you're looking for like a coach that could find himself out of a job after a playoff series, I mean, other than the one season, what has Paul Maurice really done there?
Not much.
So I don't know. I think that would be, I think that's where you look for maybe a possible coaching change, although Kevin Cheveldayoff's pretty loyal to his people. I don't know. I mean, look, everyone's going to have to retool a little bit, right? Because, you know, contracts are going to be up. Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to figure some stuff out.
What other takeaways did you have from the game, Ian?
From this game? I mean, this was the kind of game that I kind of expected when I made my playoff picks. I didn't trust Martin Jones. I think Marc-Andre Fleury hasn't been as good as I thought he would be in this series so far, although he made some pretty big saves tonight. I mean, this is the Sharks have issues. The Sharks went into the playoffs with issues, and they are, you live by the sword, you die by the sword, and Jones is the sword they went into the playoffs with. So that's what it's going to be.
So once again, you can catch us anywhere for YouTube, iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, and of course, Spotify. That just kind of just does it for us here. Ian, where can they find you at?
You can find me on the Twitter machine at Ian Blogs Hockey. You can also find me on this little podcast called Teal Tinted Glasses, which will happen tomorrow. So stay tuned for that.
Is that confirmed?
Yeah, that should be a done deal. If at the very least, it's going to be me and Drew is going to make his illustrious return to the cast. So stay tuned for that tomorrow.
All right. You can find me on Twitter at Al Martinet. Hey, game three, that usually decides the series when it's 1-1. Vegas has home ice. I don't know what to expect going in, but it should be a good one. But Sunday, 7:00, I believe, starting time. Mm-hmm. Thank you, John. Ian, would you mind just talking for a little bit just to make sure about Super Chat?
Yes. I'm going to vamp. Stay tuned for TDG tomorrow. I think, I'm not throwing in the towel here. I don't think the Sharks are done. I wouldn't, this game was a bad game, and bad games unfortunately happen even in the playoffs. The Sharks control their destiny here. They still retain home ice advantage in this series because they have, they have four more games left in the tank before the series ends. So as long as they can take, if they can go and take care of business in Vegas, at least one game in Vegas, then, you're still holding on to that home ice advantage. I think the longer the series goes doesn't really benefit the Sharks at this point. The Sharks need to get out of the series quickly and get some, get some rest, I think, because they do have the walking wounded list is looking pretty large at this point, and that's problematic. But I don't know. I think us fans, like the team itself, there's some things that obviously you want to go back and look at, but I think a lot of it, man, burn the tape, move on, come back next game, play better. Jones be Jones that we like and not the one we don't.
All right. So thank you to all who donated to Super Chat. John, $10. Lloyd Dickinson, Kristen Release, and she did it four times. But thank you for donating. Yes. We'll be back Sunday at next time for game three, for post game, only here on Teal Town USA. See you guys.